battle axes and weapons of war. And you know, we have been getting a lot of training, praise God. In Jeremiah chapter 51, we are very familiar with this verse in 20 and 20 to 23. Said, thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and its rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces men, man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maiden. So the Lord needs war horses. He needs obedient cults, like how he was riding on this obedient cult up to Jerusalem. He needs us ready and willing for Jesus Christ, our Lord, to ride majestically back into the earth when he returns to rule the nations in righteousness. Revelation 1:7 said, behold, he cometh with clouds, yes. Oh. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you mute. If you have a question or a comment, I'm not sure of the time because I'm trying to look at, get it here.
It's 5 minutes before the hour, 7 o'clock.
Oh, good. We have a lot of time. I said, I tell you, this was a very short chapter. But if you have a comment or a question, we'll take it by the help of the Holy Spirit. Or also, I would like anybody to tell me if you what you understand from what we just studied, because it is very important that, you know, we understand or we get something from what have been shared. So maybe it's a good time that individuals, sisters, can unmute one by one and say what you get from the chapter, please.
The chapter serves as a reminder, a concise reminder of what we are called to as willing women. It serves also as motivation. As you were delivering, you were, you know, conveying excitement and conveying encouragement to us as women to continue with the mandate we have been given. So it is a call to action.
Okay. I think I have enough charge to go outside where it stays because very good. I got what you said. And anybody else?
Just like in Revelation 1:7, he said, behold, he cometh with cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kind of the earth will wail because of him. And he goes on to say, even so. And he's the Alpha and the Omega. There is years and years ago, I used to wonder how he can say that we're going to see him. But thank God, he knows the end before the beginning. And technology, that we will be able to see him when he placed his feet on the Mount of Olives. And we have a blessed hope that he is coming. Some of us mightn't have time to be there. When I say be there, be alive. But to see him, we will see him. And I'm looking forward to that. I love this text. Behold, I come in, and every eye shall see him. I am, excited when I read this text that we're going to see him. And I said that many people did not live to understand this word because they didn't have the technology that we have now. But thank God he prepared everything. So we can't get vexed with technology. It's there for us and it's going to be used especially at the end of ages. Even so now, because look, we can have a meeting and discuss the word of God on technology. That's my bit. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Pastor Joel, in yes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. You know, sometimes choose when to share the gospel with persons. Sometimes we meet persons on a daily basis and then we do not even dare to share the gospel with them. Because sometimes we meet persons today and we don't meet them tomorrow. So it tells us in season and out of season. Sometimes we might choose the time to go on, but he's telling us in season and out of season. And it's the verse saying convince them, because sometimes we encounter persons and sometimes they are so reluctant to listen to the word of God. It's not you are going in some kind of, I would say, disagreement with them or argument with them. But the fact is that you want them to hear the word. So the word is saying to convince. It said also to rebuke. Most of the times, or sometimes, we surpass things that we are supposed to address just to benefit the individual's life. We have to be focused upon that because we want the individuals to really accept Christ as Lord and personal Savior. And also, it's saying to exhort them with long suffering. We have to be patient because even the word say Paul planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So this means that we have to be at them, just really telling them about the word of God that they can accept Christ as the Lord and personal Savior. And the verse 3 tells us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So now we have the opportunity to share the word. We need to share it with persons, with our loved ones, with those we meet on the street. Wherever we go, we have to share the word of God with persons because there's going to be a time when they wouldn't want to hear sound doctrine. I think somewhere in the Bible talks about if they fail to hear the truth, now he'll make them believe a lie. You know, and now we have the opportunity to share because the harvest truly is plentiful. So we have to embrace the opportunity now to share the gospel with persons that they will come to know Christ as their Lord and personal Savior.
Mm-hmm. We actually see two things. We see two things in the story there. One where you see the glorious reign of Christ, the glorious kingdom that he is in charge of, that there will be no end to. And then you also see his wrath and judgment that has to come upon the earth. I'm saying those two things should motivate us to want to tell others about him. In other words, we don't want to enjoy the beauty of the reign with Christ in the kingdom. We don't want to be selfish with that, with that reign with him. And then others are left without even the knowledge of knowing him. And sometimes The challenge has been not to say anything because of all people, what they might think about you, what they might say. But I always tell people, the devil is so bold-facing people that they will project their own, they push their own agenda, their own ungodly behaviors. They will push their own talk or whatever it is with no faith. But the people of God have to shy away. And I said, no. You come from from the city on a bus, on a public bus, they will have all kind of conversation going on, whether it's politics or whatever, people's business, no problem. But when a child of God opens their mouth to tell them about the love of God, boy, they have such a problem. But that should not stop us, because we have two things in mind. How great is the love of God, the great price that have been paid for the souls of men, and the inheriting of the kingdom of God and the reigning with him, as we have seen in the scripture. Then if one rejects, right, the as he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If one rejects that, the judgment that will come upon the earth is something else. So these two things should motivate us to want to tell others about his love. So, yes, Sister Mona, it's really good to, you know, to be encouraged to do that, because there is no season for it. No season. Anytime we get the opportunity, we should. Anybody else? I don't know why the phone is making that noise.
Yes, please, Sabrina Skinner. Two things that really stood out for me. The fact that it's not just us as human beings who are awaiting the return of our Lord, but the fact that the whole of creation, the entire world, is groaning and waiting in anticipation. And we as wailing women, we also have a part to play in terms of whatever we can do, and praying for the healing of the earth as well, and for God to come quickly so that things would be in alignment and come into the conformity of which he would have ordained these things at the beginning. And then the second one was, the point was to raise a company of women who are meek and gentle in spirit, yet as bold as lions in spiritual warfare. And, you know, when we think of the whole thing of women as wives being called to be submissive, we must realize that submission is really strength. And that, yes, we are submissive, we are gentle in whatever we're to do, but we are like lions when it comes to, we know how protective we are when it's our children. So it's the same thing, that call to boldness. In spiritual warfare, it says, but I think sometimes we have to be bold and audacious and out there, because as Sister Joan was saying, you know, the enemy is working 24/7 and they don't care. So we need to have that kind of boldness too, to invade their territory and take back what is rightfully ours.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. We understand our urgency as willing women for the work. It's you know, it's something like what the operational handbook for willing women. I don't know if you have read it, but it was showing the seriousness of our part that we play. And man, it's no easy assignment that the Lord has given unto us as his errand girls. We are to really watch for our nations. And we should never take it slightly, because we have, as Peter said, an adversary who does not take it slightly. He goes like a roaring lion. He roars to see how he can stop us. But we have to understand that the real lion is in us. And so we have a bigger role than him.
when it comes to warfare and taken back what should be rightly taken back. Anybody else? I guess there are those else who want to say something.
What I have to say, as willing women, as the Bible says in Matthew, not that the angel was not dead, they all was angel, but at the end, Jesus tell the foolish ones he never know them. So let us not be there and for at the end for God to tell us that he never knows. Let us, as willing women, true and faithful unto God.
Amen.
Amen.
That's another place where boldness comes, because sometimes the enemy wants to intimidate us. I have to go back to put this thing to charge. To make us feel that, you know, it's so insignificant. And sometimes we have some false humility because the enemy tried to corner us and make us feel, you know, we are not able. But the Bible says God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that we have in all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. So that's where boldness come, when the enemy tries to make us feel that, because sometimes we cannot. But thank God, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ. And you know, the word of God has given us the authority. Remember, our role is to take back, because the purpose that God had created man, and God deceived by the enemy to mess things up. Remember, Jesus came to bring it back. And so we have to really be warfare fighters, warlike, in spite of being gentle and meek women. When it comes to warfare, we have to be like angry against the enemy, because he really comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he don't give up at nothing. He's determined to destroy marriages. He's determined to destroy families. He's determined to destroy nations. And so we that God have called to stand in the gap have to be very warlike, you know, very aggressive against his works and against his plans. Okay, we have time. So the rest of you can. I just got my phone, I don't know what is happening to it. I might have prayed for me to get a good phone. This one, the battery, I don't know for what reason it has died when it's on the charger. So.
I'm not hearing anything now.
I think she said she was going to change her phone.
ladies, in the meantime, could we pray for a young man? One of the sisters was asking in Dominica, one of her employees is sick and he's at the ICU. So she asked for prayers for him. His name is Robert Williams. Can we pray for Robert, please, while we wait for Sister Joan to come back?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, my God. We give you praise, glory, and honor. You said in everything, give you thanks. Mighty God, I ask you, O God, to put your hands upon my dear brother that is in ICU, my God. I pray, Father, for your miracle, Lord God Almighty. I pray, Father, that you intervene, Father. You are the God who know him. You know everything about him. Father, you know his illness. We pray for your healing virtue upon him, Father. You have done it before. You can do it again, mighty God. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you, Father God, will encourage your sister, Lord God Almighty. Give her strength and encourage her, God, to have faith in you, mighty God. Without faith, it is impossible, oh God. I pray, mighty God, that you touch the whole family, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Intervene in their lives, Father God. Yes, if there is anyone that have not given their life to you, mighty God, I pray, Lord God Almighty, that they will accept you before it is too late, my God. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that you will show yourself, Lord God. Show yourself, O God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, mighty God, have your way, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Mona.
Yes, I'm there.
Hello? Sorry for the interruption with my phone. Anyway, I want to just thank you all for participating so beautifully in the study. And I hope everyone, those who have not heard, have received from it, and that it will be an encouragement and a strength to you, right? Because as we said, the challenges are here right now, and but the grace of God is abounding to every sin. I was just referring to the last speaker when she said that about the virgins, that's the challenge I'm talking about, you know, to know that they were already there, they were virgins, but they miss it.
Yeah.
And so by the grace of God, we strive by God's grace to enter.
Yeah.
That we don't miss it. And he said he is able to make all grace. So the one scripture that I wanted to remind us of is in Hebrews 4 when he said we should enter into that rest. You know, many have heard the word and they did not enter into that rest of faith, full confidence that God was able to take them through the wilderness, right for them. You know, God said he was grieved because of their doubts and their worrying. But he asked us to enter into that rest, right? Mm-hmm. And, in some of the scriptures in Hebrews, he said, you know, we should take heed that we don't fall after the same example of them, because the scripture is given for our learning. And so by the grace of God, he's able to make, to abound with grace upon each and every one of us that... As we trust him, no matter what, the challenges will come, but as we trust him, see, that's the number one thing God wants to see in his children, that trust, that confidence, that's a rest, where you know, no matter what, in spite of, because remember, we are all
going through the same challenges. Everyone goes through different challenges, but there are challenges. And so God wants us to trust him, trust his ability to take us through. And he said, do not fall after the same example of unbelief. They had an evil heart of unbelief. So the mandate, the training manual, the operational handbook, the letters from the Father's heart, the different sessions of teaching and training that you have been given is to help us, to build us up. Because in that same scripture in Hebrews, sorry, he said, while it is called today, we should exhort one another. So this is one of the answer or the solution for not falling into the same example of unbelief. Because the word builds faith. As Romans said, he said, I think it's 1017 or 1970, when he said, faith comes by hearing. So as we spend time hearing the word and acting upon it, we are releasing that confidence in this God that we serve. So my encouragement to you, saints of God, watchmen of God, in this 11th hour, be confident that the God who starts the work, began the work in us as well in women, is able to take us to the end.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
God.
Amen. Yes.
Pastor, I was looking at in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Yes, we go on in life, but the conclusion of the matter is what is the end result of our journey? Because here Paul is saying, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. As well in women, we have to take this very seriously. Yes, we go on in life. And he said, yes, it's well in women. Yes, we do this. Yes, we do that. But the end result is we have to say, I have fought a good fight. Because it is a fight. It's a battle that we are in. So we have to focus on the end results of that battle. At the end of it, can we say, or are we dare to say, I have fought a good fight and I have finished the course and I have kept the faith?
Yeah, that's right.
I just try to digest that thing there. Yes, you do what you're supposed to do, but at the end of it, even as when Ecclesiastes says, I love that part of Ecclesiastes, when it said the conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. You understand? Mm-hmm. So the conclusion of the matter for we as willing women, at the end of what can we see? Are we going to say, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, and I have kept the faith?
Right. So you're saying at the end of the day is really the things of God that matters. At the end of the day, the conclusion is only what is done for God really that matters. Or our life in God, whether it's our lifestyle or walk or talk, whatever, that's what matters. And one other thing that I like to encourage people about, do not be afraid of testing and trials and persecution. Because Jesus said, if the world hated him, they will hate you also. Yeah. And he said, you know, woe is you if all men speak good about you. He tells us, give us a lot of encouragement. Sometimes when we go into things, we get very discouraged. But we also have to look at, even when Job was going through his problems, he did not realize that it's God that was allowing the enemy to bring those things on him. And as God asked him in the end, were you there when I stretched the foundation of the earth? Were you there when I did this or that? Meaning that you cannot instruct me. You cannot tell me how long to make your problem be or how short, because the man lost his children and everything. In everything, I will still give God praise. But to reach the point where souls take over.
We lost her.
Yeah, we lose. Her service must have gone. Anybody want to share the meantime while she's setting up? If you feel like sharing, just share something just to take the space.
I can let me share a little bit about my thoughts with the 10 virgins. When we were reading scripture tonight with Matthew 25, what really spoke to my heart was when the other 5 virgins who wasn't prepared, for them to ask the ones that were prepared for some oil, I felt was very, I guess, it was kind of like, it's kind of like what's going on right now, where a lot of people feel that they're going to be saved because maybe they have a grandmama or a mother that's saved. And maybe, you know, a lot of us know people who feel like maybe they have this wrong presumption that they're going to be saved because, you know, they have auntie and their sister or their mama that prays for them. And I think that that's a false safety, right? And so when I was reading that scripture tonight, it just spoke to my heart because I felt like, you know, this is another reason why there's a huge sense of urgency to really bring people into the kingdom. All of what you guys were talking about tonight, as far as just being that light and really ministering to people. And, you know, there's a sense of urgency, like Pastor Joan is saying, to really bring people into the kingdom and spread the gospel and pray for people and strengthen them. And when I read this scripture, I immediately went to the ones that were prepared, because, you know, that just to me is so, it's so true to what's going on right now, because people really do believe that they're going to be saved, and maybe perhaps they're not. You know, who am I to say if they are? Only God can judge, right? But I think that a lot of people are living in a false reality that they will be prepared. And so when I read the part where those 5 immediately asked the one for some oil, I just think that that's what's going to happen. You know, that's kind of like what's happening right now. You know, people are thinking that they can live on the faith of others, right? Like they can be saved through other people's faith. And I feel like, you know, I just feel like people, I guess it's our job to really not only live life, you know, as be the example, right? But to really explain that to them, because there's so many different false doctrines out here. There's so many different doctrines, and we don't really know where people's faith walk was before maybe we interacted with them, right? And so it's like, you know, it's not like when I'm speaking to one of my friends or whatever, I don't really, unless the Holy Spirit leads us into that conversation, I'm not going to ask them for a resume of, you know, what church they were brought up in or whatever. Now, if I know this friend well, I'll have an idea, right? But, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, I have friends who didn't grow up in you know, the born again faith, right? Or in that experience of church. Maybe some of them were Catholic, or maybe some of them were, you know, different denominations or what have you, right? And so I just feel like when I read that scripture tonight, it just really, that's what spoke to my heart, was that, you know, I don't want to say the audacity, but just the fact that, you know, they immediately asked the other 5 can they use some of their oil? And I just feel like that might be the case, that could certainly be the case of today. I just wanted to share that. That was just really pressing on my heart, because I, you know, that's the awesome thing about the Holy Spirit, is that I certainly didn't expect to, you know how we can read scripture and we can read it 1,000 times, but you know, it's so awesome that it can speak to you in many different ways when you read scripture. And so when I read that tonight, I was thinking, wow, you know, that was kind of bold for them to ask for that oil, you know, and almost like, here it is, they were asleep and they were kind of not taking it serious, and the other five were listening to the voice of God, because here it is, they went out looking for him, right? When they heard the cry, they were already ready, and these other ones were asleep at the wheel. And so not only were they asleep, they asked the ones that were prepared for some of their oil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm reading here, one second, there was a part, the end, where the Lord says, it was where he basically it
I
was
never
locked,
knew
we
you.
Locked out. Yes, we were locked out. Like that, I don't want to be locked out. I don't know about y'all, but that's deep to be locked out because you weren't prepared. And they thought they had time.
He said that he never knew you.
Yes, they thought they had time. You see, they went to go get more oil. They really thought they had time. And again, I think that's a misconception with a lot of people. They think they have more time, and that's not true.
Yeah. And the part when he said, I never knew you. And since they was there, and he said, I never knew you, in spite of all what they was doing. And he said, I never knew you.
But do you think that these five foolish virgins at one time were following Christ, but they didn't work out their own salvation with fear and trembling? So that is also a wake-up call for us, that we have to stay on the path of God.
Yes.
And be led by the Spirit daily.
I think they were deceived, though. As my sister said, they thought they had time. So they were into self-deception. They were thinking, oh, we're okay. We can sleep for a little while. We can take it easy. You know, and when the time came for the bridegroom to come, or when he was at the door, then they recognized that they were, you know, they were not ready at all. You know, so all this time they thought they were like the other five who were wise and stuff. All of them fell asleep, right? But the five wise had extra oil. That made a difference. You know, those persons who kind of sit easy in Zion, you know, those persons who do not read their Bibles much, do not pray much, just cruising their way up to heaven, they think, you know, are tend to end up in self-deception.
And the oil also represents the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And even though the previous speaker, I do not know only by names, but who spoke, not Sister Pam, not the other one before, that was giving more detail about the virgins. And you were talking about, for instance, like your friends, and when you meet persons or so, and then you just kind of just go and tell them, you know, about if they're Christian or something like this. Anyway, in a form of witnessing to those individuals. The thing is that when you meet persons, you at first thing you have the Holy Spirit to just give you what to say to the individual. Because I have learned that when you meet persons, you don't meet them another time. So the opportunity that you get, you have to pass the word to them. You might just open a simple conversation with them. And then in your heart, you're asking the Holy Spirit to give you the words that you would say to reach out to that individual. Because sometimes you don't know if you meet that person again, you know? So it's important that we ask the Holy Spirit to give us the words that we should say to persons when we meet persons. In the form of sharing the gospel with them.
You're right. You're so true about that, because there was a time where I remember when I just really started to just grow in my relationship with the Lord. And he was just really bringing me out of my shell to really talk to strangers more, right? Like just random strangers where maybe I felt led to go and speak to these people. And I started to trust him more with that, because at first I would kind of ignore that push, right? Because I would be thinking, well, what is that? It took me a while to really understand just the prompting of the Holy Spirit, to really understand what that was and what it felt like, and how do I know if it's me or if it's him prompting me. And I find now that with the strangers and maybe people that I don't know, I'm more comfortable to do that. But it was with my individual friends that I knew that made me feel more uncomfortable. Like in my personal walk, I had to really shake myself up and get comfortable with being uncomfortable at first about it. So for example, I had a friend who was going to do some overseas work in the Middle East, and he had never really grew up with a relationship with Christ. His parents never really had him, you know, in church or anything like that. And I knew that he didn't have that relationship. And so before he left, we prayed. I gave him my Bible. And he was actually probably one of my first good friends that I ever really led to Christ. And after that, I felt so amazing, because, you know, one plants, one waters, and God gives an increase. And I remember in the beginning, I would be kind of like, well, Lord, did he really get saved? Like, I would be so, you know, concerned about, did they really receive it? And I had to quickly receive him, and I had to quickly be corrected, because that's not up to me to wonder or decide or even inquire on whether or not they got saved. But, you know, it was my first friend that I had, you know, prayed into the into receiving Christ into his heart, and I was excited. But I just remember that experience, you know, where I was nervous. And so that just the reason why I brought that up is because I feel like, you know, when we're talking about, you know, the 10 virgins and five of them not being prepared, and we were discussing with friends and sharing our faith with friends. And I think Sister Mona said, you know, just allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you in those conversations. I just feel like that if we can allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, then maybe those nerves won't be there. Then, or maybe a certain family member that maybe we feel intimidated to go speak to, that maybe, you know, has been practicing a different, you know, another doctrine that maybe perhaps we don't, you know, that aren't born again, right? And they've never really accepted Christ into their heart or whatever. So I just wanted to share that, you know, because I just feel that I believe Pastor Joan mentioned this about just being bold as a lion, and just having that boldness to not have any type of fear of praying with our friends and people who are close to us. I know for my personal walk, that used to be I don't want to say an issue for me, but it would kind of keep me from going that route, because this is my friend. They might, you know, they might be looking at me a certain kind of way. You know, I would be all in my head about that. But now in this season and where I'm at now with my walk, now I realize that this is an imminent need, and this is pressing. And everything that Pastor's been talking about tonight is, you know, all for that reason, because, and all like what we just said about the oil, that, you know, there are people who are living right now who are dying, going straight to hell. I mean, I hate to be so blunt, but it's true.
It's true.
You know, and time is a factor, you know.
Sister Tonya?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I just wanted to share one or two things after you spoke. The immediate thing that came to me was, what will you do now? The second thing was the fact that your life will draw people to you, and you can do what you can do, and you can begin to pray for your friends so that the Holy Spirit would open the door. He would tell you the right time, and that he would give you the right words. And then I just wanted to share something about an example of something that happened to me that caused me to understand the urgency and not to wait and procrastinate, because we do not know how long you may be here or how long the other person may be here. I'm an educator, and I had a student who had come into my class that afternoon to retrieve something that I had taken from him. And it was niggling in my spirit the whole time. I was like, Lord, I know what this thing is, this cab, but what is the significance of it? And then he came and he retrieved it. And I had only said to him, how are you doing? And he said, fine. And I released him. But after he left, the Holy Spirit brought to me that this young man, the thing that I gave him was a part of the gang paraphernalia. And I began to pray. That was the Tuesday. By the Thursday night, he was dead. Friday morning, I got into school and hardly had time to park my car when another student came sobbing to me and telling me about this student. I went into shock immediately. That was my first response. And that was how I got through the day. Because of that, I began to be bold and come up to people and say, do you have a relationship with the Lord? I don't beat around the bush anymore then, as we would say in our Bahamian vernacular. Because we do not know the timing. And today I was on the global altar and really weeping when I heard that many of our Christian brothers and sisters in Africa and in other places where the Muslims are in control are being slaughtered.
Yes,
and I am saying we are here taking our ease when people are now giving up their lives literally for Christ. And it just really fired me up again, you know? And this call, because it is serious. And not only that, in listening to Darius, I felt like, oh my God, this is even closer than we know.
Jesus.
This is even closer than we know. And Father is moving. Things are happening exponentially. You know, I mean, look at how fast time seems to be flying for us. This is already September. And so, I mean, it fired me up to say, you know, yes, that passion has to be there. The kindling has to be there. We need to be studying to show ourselves approved. And we are in a war. And the war is for our minds.
Amen.
Okay, because, and so we have to encourage ourselves. We have to strengthen ourselves. And we have to be faithful, because I want to hear, come into the feast. And I want to be to that banquet table.
Amen.
You know, but this is serious. And I don't think a lot of us understand the seriousness of it. And the urgency. We don't have time. And it's getting to the point when, I got excited also, because someone said, you know, when we began to really pull down these strongholds, it's going to give the Lord the release so that millions of people are going to be coming to Christ. Millions.
Amen. Yes.
And so that encouraged me to pray.
Amen.
So wherever whatever little thing that he prompts us to do, pray for the boldness and step out. You know, there's a saying in the world, feel the fear and do it anyway. Do it.
Amen.
Just wanted to encourage us.
Yeah, amen and amen. And even in the word of God that says that the Lord have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Most of the times, we are so scared to open our mouth. By the time we open our mouth, then everything going to work out. But if we stay tight-lipped, I mean, that's what the enemy wants us to do. Because fear doesn't come out from God, it comes from him. And then give us so many reasons why we cannot share the gospel with somebody. either we're busy or the person will not listen, and so many doubts come in our mind. But by the time we open our mouth to share the gospel, it's so important. And even giving a track is so important to give an individual. Maybe you're passing through and you don't have time to stop, but you have a track in your bag. You leave it with that individual. Don't know what could happen with that track. So it's important to share the word of God and just realize that we should not be fearful. Because in Jeremiah chapter 1, and God said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
Yeah. Yes.
Before you were born, I sanctified you. We are sanctified. Yes. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. So God has a plan for all of us lives, but we have to make ourselves available. Let's put down fear. Let's put down fear. Just practice sharing the gospel. Just practice it with the help of the Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister John apologized because something went wrong with her phone. She said that she loves you all, and then she'll try to get a new phone.
Okay.
So we can, if you have anything, you could ask us. Because she was supposed to stop at 8 o'clock. So if you have anything more to discuss, you could discuss it.
Mrs. Skinner, just one thing, please, ladies. Even in terms of the fear, if we open our mouths, the Holy Spirit will fill us. I can tell you that from experience. Open your mouth and Amen. He will give you the words and he will bring things to your remembrance.
Amen.
Even on this same theme, I hear somebody die, whether it was an accident, a gunshot, or the COVID-19 or whatever. It always comes to mind. If this person was saved, can you tell that person about Jesus Christ? What is their state? And if they received Jesus. And, sometimes it disturbed me not knowing really the position of their soul. If they had known Jesus as Lord and Savior, if somebody tell them. So it's still me now to tell people about the love of Jesus. And they can decide for themselves, because you can't decide for anybody. But you could encourage them to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And where they will be when that day reach. And if you do that, you don't have a fear of death, because you know where you're going when you die. So I always think about that in that way. If anybody had told them that Jesus is Lord, what is the state of their soul at that last moment? Even like the thief on the cross, so Jesus' last minute, he was able to say, Lord, remember me when you go to paradise. But the other one stubbornly, save yourself and save us. So it have that same attitude going on in the world even now, you understand? So long I saying, Jesus coming since my great-grandmother was alive. Yeah. But
yeah.
We are closer now than that time. You understand? Amen. Your great-grandmother and grandmother passed. We don't know what happened to them. You understand what I mean? So I would be very concerned about that. What is the state of their soul if they are saved? Because Jesus said he's coming and coming soon. And the days are getting shorter. And everything is rapidly, the pace that we certainly have to talk to people about it, witness about the love of Jesus, and ask them if they ever think where they will be when he comes. You understand? What will happen if they're going to go to the grave, or if they're going to go up for permanent, because there's no repentance beyond the grave. So we just have to be prepared and let them know.
Amen.
Yes.
Even as you said that about the death, I can remember I went to the doctor's clinic, and while I was sitting, I normally have some tracks in my bag when I have to go to places like this. And mm-hmm. I saw a lady sitting on the bench just next to me. So I took a track and I gave it to her. But she didn't read, or she lost the beginning of the track, and she turned the track at the back of it. And mm-hmm. I seen her mouth moving, and there is a prayer of repentance at the back of this. And yes. Then the lady was reading the repentance prayer. Mm-hmm. So I just mm-hmm. forgot about the lady. A few days ago, I met somebody that was part of where I was by the doctor. So I'm asking them, how is that lady? She was there with us. They told me the lady passed.
Aye.
I say, oh. Father.
Mm, 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 mm. Yeah, we don't know.
But she went at the back of the truck. It didn't even take a week or so, you know. And that lady was gone. So mm-hmm. I believe she's a stranger to me. I never saw her before. But the fact is that I just felt led to pass on the track for her. You know, I give people track. If they take it, they take it. If they tell me no, thank you, it's okay. Yeah. But make sure I have mm-hmm. it. I want to pass it on. Because I do not know if I'm going to see you tomorrow. You know, so it's important that we make use of our time.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is our responsibility. It is. Oh, Father, we bless you.
Very important to follow the leading again of the Holy Spirit, the oil. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's have a little time of prayer. It's what is the time now? It's 10:02. So we could just pray. Anybody that feel like praying, just pray. Let's just pray because we are willing women, right? Interceding on the church, the family. Yes. So we always have a request, right? So anybody feel led to pray, one or two persons or even three persons, let's just feel the space of time.
Heavenly Father, you, dear God, is our Lord and Savior. We have made you Lord of our life. Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us that we can get together and learn from each other, learn from your work, from your word. Father, I thank you for the saints that are gathered here tonight, oh God. Father, thank you. I thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy. Father God, when I think of so many people passing away every day, you know, with one reason or the other, Father God, it takes me way back wondering. Father, I thank you, dear God, that even like this year, my mother went away 58 years ago, but she didn't know you as Lord and Savior. I don't know what happened at the last moment, because the same day it was my birthday, I was 17 years old. Father God, and I think about this all the time. God, give us a heart of love and care for others that we will approach, and we will tell them about the love of Jesus, that he saves, that he sanctifies, that he forgives. Repentance is for you, is for you, is for me. Father God, lead me in the way that you want me to go. Jesus. I surrender my all to you, Father. Excuse me, that's your honor. Father, it is heavy. But God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Father, point me in the way that I should go. To touch other lives, to tell them about you, to tell them about your coming, which is soon, Father. Father, bless the wailing women worldwide. Bless them in the islands, that you will give us boldness to declare, yes, said the Lord. Be like the virgins that were wise. Father, help us to gather wise ones, more wise ones. They oiled and the lamp trimmed, ready for when you come. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks for all of us who are gathered here and around the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep us I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bless your name tonight. We adore you. We magnify you. You are God all by yourself. Hallelujah. And we thank you that we can call you. We can say, Abba, Father, which art in heaven. Lord, you are a mighty warrior. We thank you, Father, too, because you war on behalf of your children. We tell you, thank you, Jesus. Father, you are a shield, you are a buckler. You are present help in times of trouble, in times of need. You are there with us. You said you will never leave us comfortless. You will come unto us. We thank you for being our comforter. Lord, we just want to thank you for this moment tonight, Almighty God, where we have discussed your word, where we have gone through your word, Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
We pray, God, that we'll apply your word to our lives, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We'll hide your word in our hearts, that we will not sin against you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, as we talk about preparedness tonight, oh God, I pray, Lord, as your children, that we'll be prepared, dear Lord, that our lamps will be filled with oil, Father, our lamps well trimmed, oh God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, God, that we would search ourselves, oh God, and we will see, Father, look for those areas, oh God, that doesn't go with what you really want us to be doing, Almighty Father. Lord God, we ask you, Father, as the psalmist said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Father, as wailing women, we need your power in our lives, oh God. We pray tonight that you'd fill us afresh and anew, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we'll not depend on our strength, but we'll depend on the strength of the Lord, Father, because your strength is made perfect in our weakness, oh God. Mm. So we ask you, God, tonight, Lord, to strengthen us, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, tonight, oh God, even as your words say, we cannot put new wine in old bottles. So tonight, Almighty God, we empty ourselves, oh God. As we empty ourselves tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for fresh anointing. We ask for fresh oil in our lamps tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you give us a desire, oh God, to preach your word. You said in season and out of season, Father God. Help us to listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit when he speaks to us, Lord. We just want to thank you. Help us to be obedient, Father God, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Father, we ask you to help us to obey you. Where we have failed to obey you, we ask for your forgiveness, oh God. And we pray as willing women that we will be on fire for you, God, in the name of Jesus, because you said we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon us, oh God, and we claim that power tonight, and that we'll put that power in it. We'll use that power, Father, the way that you want us to use it, to honor you, to glorify you, to magnify your name, because you said if we lift you up, you will draw men unto us yourself. So help us, oh God, to lift you up in our conversation, in our lifestyle, the things we do, the things we say, Father God. We ask you, Father, that you will be lifted up, oh God, because you say when we lift you up, you will draw men unto yourself, oh God. And we ask you, Father, tonight, oh God, that we'll be afresh and anew, and we'll go out, oh God, to tell others about you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord God, we call upon you. Your word said the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We pray that you'd send laborers in your vineyard, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And as willing women, oh God, we stand up, Father, for you, God. We stand up, oh God. You said you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We pray for power tonight. We pray for sound mind tonight. And we erase, oh God, we erase fear from our lives tonight, oh God. Because fear is not from you. Fear brings torment, and we come against it in the name of Jesus. We come against the device of the enemy in the name of Jesus, because he comes like an angel of light. But tonight, in the name of Jesus, we address him. We address principalities. We address powers. We address the rulers of darkness of this world. We address spiritual wickedness in high places. We bring down every altar of the enemy tonight. We bring down every altar that is not good in the homes tonight. We bring it down in the name of Jesus. The altars in the nations, we're bringing them tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, you said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You said, if two officials agree as touching one thing, it shall be done. And Father, we thank you that we abide by your word, because you said heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away. Tonight, oh God, we stand on your word. Your word is true, Father. We stand on it tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we bind every forces of darkness tonight in the name of Jesus. And we saturate ourselves with the precious blood, because we know the blood will never lose its power. Father, we give you praise tonight. We give you praise tonight. We give you praise tonight, oh God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, no, God, Father, for phone, Father God. You say if we ask, we will receive. And tonight, oh God, we are asking you, oh God, that you provide her phone right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That you open the windows of heaven and you shower your blessings upon her tonight, oh God. Father, we claim blessings tonight. We claim blessings from above. We claim blessings tonight. I pray for every woman tonight, here tonight, oh God. May you touch them. Touch their homes. Touch their families, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, that lady with that pressing need tonight. Father, you know the need. You know, God. You know the desires of her heart tonight, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that this need will be met, oh God. I cancel every barrier, everything that hinders that need, oh God, from coming to her, God. I break it down tonight. I demolish it tonight with the blood of Jesus Christ. I demolish it tonight. I demolish it tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that there is power in you, and we cannot do nothing of ourselves, oh God, but we can only do it through you, God. And Father, we claim victory tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.